This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All. Well, I can officially torch my bracket right now.
Yeah, you could, couldn't you?
Well, considering that my now national champion was bounced by your national champion.
Villanova.
And with that, also my upset pick was bounced by one Syracuse. They were the upset pick.
Yep, and now four remain. Syracuse, North Carolina, Villanova, and... There's a fourth team. They're not normally a basketball school, but they're there. Oklahoma.
Yeah.
The Sooners.
Oklahoma Sooners are in the Final Four, and that's something that I don't think I would see every day, because when you think of Oklahoma, you don't think of basketball. You think of, well, football. That's what Oklahoma is known for, but yet they have produced a decent basketball product this year to be in the Final Four. It's as many people predicted that this tournament is up for grabs for anyone because... Well, let's face it, when the tournament started, everyone was getting bounced, Michigan State getting bounced, probably the biggest upset in the history of the tournament. And one team that wasn't mentioned to the Final Four, is it disappointing or is it not disappointing? And that is the Maryland Terrapins, considering that this is the Baltimore Sports Free For All, and we are going to be talking about the Maryland Terrapins because the Final Four is set. It is something that I'm not sure many people in the state of Maryland have an interest in, you know, the Final Four itself, but there could be some upsets still coming here. I mean, Syracuse itself, wow, they had themselves a decent win.
Yeah, they just went from the doldrums. Remember last year, Jim Boeheim's team, they violated some NCAA codes or regulations and suspended the entire season. No tournament, nothing. No NIT for them. And then all of a sudden to come back from that to get to the Final Four is pretty special right there.
Well, I will ask you a question. If you're if you're a small-time school playing in the NIT is a big deal, but if you are, let's say, a Maryland, like a school that's used to going to the actual big tournament itself, the tournament has become kind of your life. It's part of your modus operandi. You have a down year. Would you rather play in the NIT or would you just not play at all?
It depends on the squad. If you have a lot of freshmen, I'd say yes, they do need the experience. But if you have a bunch of juniors, some seniors on a team, then no, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, because it's an invitational tournament, so you accept the invitation to go into it and you can actually decline said invitation.
Yep, exactly. That's like... I guess it's kind of like being a 10-year-old in baseball and you're still doing coach pitch because you don't want to play against the pitchers, so to speak.
Coach pitch, huh? I never actually went from coach pitch. I went from T-ball to actual people pitching to me.
Yeah, well, my nephew's doing coach pitch this year. Actually doing pretty good in practices so far.
I will say that my batting average dropped significantly when it upgraded to actual pitching.
Right.
And let's just also say that that was my last year playing any type of organized baseball on a team.
You probably should have been a pitcher, right?
Well pitchers hit in the league.
Oh, they do too.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They hit. There is no designated hitter. This is back in the early 90s too, Josh. So the designated hitter wasn't really all that popular back then. So it wasn't like widespread to Little League and everything else that was going on. So Maryland gets bounced by my national champion pick, the Kansas Jayhawks, who eventually got bounced themselves by Villanova.
And they were one of the last remaining number one seeds, of course, North Carolina being the last remaining number one seed in this tournament.
And that's exactly how it usually works out in the Final Four, is that there's not all four number one seeds. That's happened once in the history of the tournament. It happened a few years ago. So now you have it to where one number one remains, but Maryland got bounced by number one, the Kansas Jayhawks. And this game... I feel like they could have beaten them.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the first half, and of course, I'm not going to do a rundown on all stats because, you know, I'm sort of the stat guy here, but when you looked at the first half, Maryland was only down 2 points, 36-34 in the first half, and I remember posting something on social media saying, wow, you know what? If I'm Maryland going into the locker room right now, I have to be feeling pretty good going into this second half here because didn't think I would be down just 2 points against the number one seed. And if I was Kansas, I would feel disappointed knowing that I'm only up 2 points against the number five seed. And it was pretty much a pro-Kansas crowd there, of course. Maryland hasn't had many pro-Maryland crowds, so to speak. And Once you got to the second half, then you just let Perry Ellis, who has to be the oldest senior I've ever seen play college basketball next to Greg Oden.
Older than Greg Oden, I believe.
When I saw that guy on television, Ray, I said to myself, and I could say to you too, there is no way that guy is younger than you or I. But I guess he is.
I guess it happens. You know, sometimes the genes fall that way, or maybe you just had that kind of a rough life to where you just looked that old at college age. It's something that's a phenomenon. Aging and genes in general is just something that, you know, people get excited over.
Perry Ellis had 27 points. That is all right there. 27 points, Ray.
Oh, but aren't you going to blame the referees?
Oh, no, I'm not going to blame the referees, of course. I'll blame Maryland and their ball handling, of course. They had, let's see, 6, 7, 8, 9 turnovers. Nine turnovers compared to Kansas's, what do they have here? Kansas's 11 turnovers. So Kansas did win the turnover, or Maryland won a turnover battle. But needless to say, there was just some sloppy ball handling in the second half there. And that Maryland team that was in the first half completely vanished by the second half right
now. I will ask you this. How was the rebounding numbers?
The rebounding numbers, if I was looking at offensive rebounds, they had Kansas had 13. Maryland, Ray, had 6. 13-6 in the offensive rebounds.
Yeah, so you get outplayed in those key statistics. And, I mean, yeah, they held the turnovers down, but it just seemed like Kansas just kept the foot on the pedal, and that was just something that people had to worry about.
And, by the way, total rebounds, Kansas 43, Maryland 28.
And I believe that we have that, Perry Ellis' points, and you have your reason why Maryland is now sitting at home watching the tournament instead of still playing in it.
And, by the way, 3 points... since we have to throw one more stat out there. Kansas, just 3-for-9 from the three-point range. Maryland, 5-for-25. Yeah.
That's a lot of three-point shots.
That's a lot of misses.
Yeah, so you're rubbing salt into the wound of Maryland.
You're rubbing your own salt into your own wound.
How am I rubbing my own salt into my own wound? You're the one rubbing the salt in the wound of the Maryland Terrapins.
Well, I'm sorry.
I just simply asked about rebounds, and here you are busting out freaking stats of Perry Ellis, of being older than... somebody who's younger than I am. Oh, and now here comes some bunch of rebound stats that I did ask you about. No, but let's throw some more shade. Here's some 3-point shots right here. Let a dead horse lie.
But here's the thing though. Maryland going into February, and I know this is going to sound like me beating a dead horse here, but going into the beginning.
Yep, I just said that.
And going into the beginning of February, Maryland was in the top 5 of the AP and coaches rankings, and they were set. We were talking about, how low is their seed going to be? Are they going to be a 2 or a 1 at best, or are they going to be a 3 at worst? And they go on this tremendous mudslide down the rankings in men's college basketball, and then next thing you know, they are the 5th seed, and they are struggling going to the Sweet 16. And I know it's the first Sweet 16 since 2003. I know it's been a long time coming for Maryland. And, of course, it's going to be a nice banner when you look at it at the Xfinity Center. But don't you feel like, Ray, this team, with the talent they had in 2015-16 season, they could have done a lot more?
I feel like they could have done a lot more. I feel like Mello Trimble could have done a lot more. But if you listen to the post-game interview, he finally said what was on everyone's mind. What is wrong with you? And he says his hamstring never got quite right.
Do you see that as a probable excuse, or do you see that as a cop-out?
Well, I mean, you have to think about something, because the guy played electric. He was the best player on your team, and he played lights out. He carried the team on his back. And just to see him fall off the way he did, you had to think something was wrong there. And you could, I mean, yeah, you could say it's a cop-out, but I don't think it's more of a cop-out, Josh. I think it's actually more of, yeah, the guy was actually playing hurt. I think we should give it up for the guy because, hey, even playing hurt, he still was a key factor on the team. It's just that he wasn't the Mello Trimble that we all know and love. And because of all of that, you just make yourself wonder, is he going to be back for next year, considering that his draft stock dropped significantly and there was over the last couple of months, especially with the way February turned out and then eventually getting bounced by Kansas in March. So there's a lot of questions still to be raised about one Melo Trimble and his NBA status.
Now, let's move forward to that. Well, actually, let's talk about the 2016 recruiting class going in. And, of course, these are your commits so far. You have Micah Thomas, who is a starting forward, three-star starting forward out of Memphis, Tennessee. He's a commit for Maryland going into next year. Anthony Cowan, who was a four-star recruit out of Olney, Maryland, St. John's College and at high school. He signed for Maryland. He's going to be there, 5'11", 165, as a point guard. Kevin Hoyter, who was out of Shenandoah Central High School at Clifton Park, New York, 6'5", 170-pound shooting guard, commits to Maryland. And according to ESPN's Top 100, he's an 87 out of a 100. So that's definitely not bad right there. So you have your shooting guard and point guard positions filled out for next year, if these guys are ready to play, so to speak. But looking at Maryland and what they got going for them going into the offseason, you know that Rashid Suleiman's gone. You know that Jake Layman's gone. You know that a couple of guys, including Ram, are gone. Does Layman make the NBA draft?
I believe so.
Second rounder?
Definitely a second rounder, and I guess I wouldn't mind. Is Gravis Vasquez still on the Memphis Grizzlies? No, wait, he's on the Milwaukee Bucks right now, so I guess it would be cool if he actually gets drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks and he's playing with Gravis Vasquez, but I guess if in butts and Kenny and nuts, we'll see where Jake Layman goes, but I think he is definitely going to be a pick.
What about Rashid Suleiman? Do you think he gets drafted at all or no?
That one is a little bit more of a tougher cookie to crack because he did sit out a year.
Yeah, that is very true.
And he had those academic issues with Duke, and Duke eventually just cut him loose.
Can play really good when he's on fire, when he's on a hot streak, that's for sure.
If you get let go by Coach K, that is a red flag.
Yeah.
And that's something that would need to be addressed for our one Rashid Suleiman.
Now we have to get to the underclassmen here. All right, let's start with Robert Carter Jr. Does he come back to Maryland? If not, should he come back to Maryland for a senior year?
I would think he'd come back for a senior year. I mean, you're already in your junior year.
Yeah,
one
I mean,
more.
That's very true. But do you think if the right agent whispers in his ear, he could be heading to the draft?
Well, that's anybody.
I know that's anybody.
Easily, yeah. I mean, you don't turn down a chance to play in the NBA. I mean, I don't care if you got loyalty to a college or whatever it is. If you've got a chance to actually play in a professional sports league that tosses around crazy amounts of buku's amounts of money, more money than you and I will ever see in our lifetime, yeah, you take that.
Okay. Let's see. Melo Trimble, who could enter his junior year at Maryland, does he need to come back for his junior year?
I believe so. I mean, your stock could still drop, especially if you suffer another injury.
But the upside, though,
you could bring your stock back up and get yourself a little bit more coin.
And imagine if Maryland goes to an Elite Eight or better next year under the guidance of Melo Trimble. That could be quite a story right there, and some NBA coaches would want that kind of player.
Because he has the ability to put a team on his back, as I have mentioned. Last year, we just remember, I especially remember the one Michigan State game where he just went completely off and just completely decimated the Michigan State Spartans in Xfinity Center. And with that, Melo Trimble, I think coming back for another year for Maryland would be good for him. I don't think it's going to be a point where, yeah, you have to worry about hurting your stock even more if you get really seriously hurt. But how often do you get seriously hurt in basketball, you know?
That is very true. And last but not least, as far as the underclassmen go, freshman center, well, could be a sophomore center next year at College Park, Diamond Stone. Does he return to the Terps? If not, should he return to the Terps next year?
I think he should.
But do you think he will?
Probably.
Really?
Yes.
What would you say, 60-40 chance he'll come back?
I would say it's going to be definitely closer to the median right there, because you could flip a coin on Mr. Diamond Stone. It all depends on, you know, if any teams are actually interested in the guy, because you saw the way he was as a center, and you saw how Maryland was out-rebounded. That's something that's going to be raised a lot of questions here for a bunch of, you know, NBA teams.
All right, Maryland ended the season at 27-9, did not contend for either the Big Ten regular season or postseason tournament titles, ended up in the Sweet 16 appearance. If Mark Turgeon doesn't take this team back to the tournament in the 2016-17 season, will he be on the hot seat?
I believe so. And with that, I mean, you look at the way Maryland played, they got farther than Michigan State, who were the outright Big Ten champions, right?
Right, right.
All right, well, this has been another edition of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. I am Ray Atkinson.
And I am Josh Hall.
And we will see you all.